Good morning. I would like to invite you to open up our Bibles in the book of Philippians, chapter 3. I would like to read from verse 7 through 10. Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 10. Let's stand and do the reading of God's word. The Bible says, "But whatever was to my profit, I now consider lost for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For whose sake I have lost all things, I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain the resurrection from the death." May God add the blessing to his word. You may be seated. I want to talk to you about organizing your talents and time. Are you an organized person? Are you an organized in your time and daily activities? Do you have time to, for example, to pay your bills? Are you good and balanced in your checkbook? Do you have an ability to do that, that your checks won't bounce? Are you organized? I don't know which one in your home is it, the man or the wife who has that ability to do a good job in balancing the book or the checkbook. But you know, sometimes I don't know if you wrote a check that bounced, but they charge you a late charge, and it's getting higher and higher. I was thinking, what if a brother puts a check on the plate and it bounces? Do you think God charges late charges? And if you were to get stopped by a cop, I hope you haven't. But if you do, do you have your registration and car insurance and your driver's license up to date? Amen? Do you take time to clean your house? Or do you need time notice that Brother Eric and I were to visit your home? Do you need to for us to let us know we're coming? Do you organize your closets and garage? Why is it that we park our cars outside and we have a lot of things in our garage that we don't use every day? There was an announcement on the bulletin about a rummage sale. Ladies, don't forget the rummage sale. It is a chance to get rid of all the things not worth keeping around the house. Bring them, and don't forget to bring your husbands. Why is it that us and men, we discipline ourselves on serving on a daily basis? I mean, we discipline for our jobs. I'm talking about physical life. We get up early in the morning, punctual, to go to work. We are obedient to our boss. And sometimes we like to please the boss more than we please God. We are more faithful to our boss than to our Lord and God. I don't know why that is. I don't know. Do you get nervous when you call in sick to your boss, trying to make an excuse when you are not sick or ill, but you want to take a day off? Do you get nervous? I'm pretty sure you do. How about if you call in sick when it's time to go to church? Do you get nervous failing to be in church as God expects you to be? Sometimes we get nervous or fear more the boss than God. I think we should change Proverbs 1:7. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of my boss. It shouldn't be like that. But sometimes we respond like that. You know, organizing your time and talents when serving God. God says this to us. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish. Now, this is God speaking to us, inviting us to be wise with our time and our talents. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understanding what the Lord's will is. You know, we were singing right now, purify us, God. It is a choice. I choose to be set apart for you. It is a choice that you make. Nobody is going to force you to serve God. It is a choice that has to come from your heart. That will glorify God. So I want to invite you to reflect in our lives, our time that God has given you, your abilities that God has given you. Do you use them also to serve God, to glorify God, or you are just focused on the world? Paul, in organizing time and talents, he organized his new life in serving Christ. And Paul, one of the things he did, he removed things that would keep him from serving God. One of the things that he did, you notice in verse 7 and 8, but whatever was to my profit, I consider lost for the sake of Christ. Now, he had a good life. He had a good schooling. He was smart. But everything that he did was not profitable in eternity, on the eyes of God, in his spiritual life. Nothing that he was doing was pleasing to God. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing. Now see, if you notice, he focuses sacrificing and living his past life for knowing Christ. That was his motivation of making this change and organizing his life. So my question to you, do you spend your time and talents for God or just for this world? If you do, you are not being wise in the eyes of God. You are not thinking on the future life. I think someone who thinks not only of today, there's a saying that he is wise, not thinking just of today. You need to prepare for eternity. I mean, one day we're going to be in eternity with our Lord. But there's going to be things that are going to be an obstacle to you when it comes to serving God. I'm pretty sure as I am talking to you, there's something in your life that is stopping you from dedicating more time, more of your abilities to God. So ask yourself, what is it? It is a choice when we serve God. Paul says, whatever is more, I consider everything less compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish. There might be something that you really love, or you really like, but it might be an obstacle to you, and you are putting more emphasis, and it's more important than serving Christ. And that's not being wise in the eyes of God. But it is a choice. It is your choice. You have the freedom to serve or not to serve God. But God has given you time, and God has given you abilities and talents where you could glorify God and be a blessing to this church. For example, you know, you make choices for physical life and a spiritual life. For physical life, you know, I want to put an example, those who are here, men, they are from 40 to 90 years old. Are you content of the decisions that you made in life, that you are content and happy of what you accomplish? I said 40 because there's a saying, not only does life begin at 40, but it begins to show. So I ask you this. Are you happy for what you did? Did you make good decisions? Young men, listen to this. There's a word of wisdom or experience of life that could give you advice to you. You could even see in your brethren who have made good choices, because your life is a result of your choices, poor or wise. You know, young men, look at those that are getting 60, 70, or 80. See if they have a good retirement, or, you know, they got their insurance and things like that. They really prepare for those years. They make good decisions. So I said from 40 to 90 because it's a result of the choices that they made during life. If go to school or not, have a good job or not. For example, you know, did you, what I said from 40 to 90, did you decide to buy a house and you did? Did you had a chance to buy one or two or three new cars during your lifetime, you know, that time? Did your income provided those things? And if it did, do you have a good retirement that you don't have to worry each day where is the next income gonna come, that you have enough to provide to pay the bills? Because that's a result of your time and choices in life. But, you know, that is not as an important or severe decisions as the spiritual life. You know, in the physical, if I was to ask you from 40 to 90, did you ever get fired from your job? I hope you didn't. I hope it doesn't happen to that, like that guy was saying, talking to his friend. You know, my employee brother-in-law had to give up his job because of illness. His friend says, because of illness? He goes, yeah. His boss got sick of him. So did you do a good job? Did you never got fired? You know, I wonder if serving God, do you make good choices? Because in spiritual life, choices are more serious and more severe if you make the wrong choice. You are stewards. God has given you life. God has given you talents and abilities to glorify Him, and yes, to provide for you, but also to serve God. We were made to worship God. We were made to serve God. We were made for His purpose. If you don't believe that, well, then you don't trust in God completely. But, you know, in serving Christ, there's going to be obstacles in your life. And sometimes you might not want to remove them because you are content. You're happy. But you know what? It's because you're focusing more on the flesh than your spiritual life. Because if they are obstacles, you're going to remove them. That's what Paul did. He could have had a good retirement, a good job, good income, good life, go on vacation. But he considered everything as rubbish, as trash, for the love of Christ. Christ meant so much to him that he motivated him to do this. You know, not many people could give up a good job that pays $60 an hour for serving Christ. What if Christ calls you to serve Him and give up this job? I mean, if God calls you, you know? The calling is from God, you know? But, you know, just we are to learn to do the little things. But spring cleaning, we're talking about that topic. I think in the Christian life, there's spring cleaning every day. Purify us, Lord, as gold. I choose to be set aside for you. See, it is a choice. When Paul says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, a new things have come. If there was a time, if there was a second, if there was a moment that you were clean as gold, it was the moment of salvation. When you receive Christ, our Lord and Savior, God purified you as gold. No sin, no spot in you. But, you know, what about after? Oh, we do a good job in messing things up. But I'm glad God is there for us to help us. Now Paul is spending more time in serving God. You know, why is it possible for some brothers here in our church that they really dedicate their lives in serving God and they are here in the music ministry or in teaching on vacation Bible school or, you know, like yesterday in the park. Somebody had to do a lot of work in just preparing the meal and cooking the meal. Why those brothers give up this time and sacrifice? You know why? They remove everything that is an obstacle or hindrance to do this job, and they do it for the Lord. And you have the ability to do that. I don't know if I do a good job in doing carne asada, but I could give it a good try. You might have to drink some Pepto-Bismol the day after. But the tacos yesterday were good. Well, I tried, Manuel, that the tacos were good yesterday. There was only 4 or 5 amens. You know, what a change in Paul's life. It is an example for you and I. How can someone be so passionate about serving God? Do you know that he didn't even get married. Or he wasn't married. And he would advise young men, don't marry, because if you marry, you're going to have to dedicate time and attending your wife. And at that time, you could be serving God. That's how passionate he was. I know most of us, we try to erase that from our... But Paul says, you know, I don't want to get off the subject. Paul says, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. That was his life. And remember, you are an administrator of your life. And you could serve God, and God will reward you. And you don't have to be in a union to work. And if you want to get paid, it is the highest pay. You don't have to work overtime for God because his pay is highest. And you have the opportunity to move up. Well, do we have an opportunity to move up? What do you think? Most definitely. Indeed, like says those fancy words. I'm trying to work up on my vocabulary. But, if you look in the life in the Old Testament, Joshua got promoted. And Samuel got promoted. And can you be fired when you are serving God? Yes. You know, God fired in serving God, King Saul, Prophet Balaam, Esau. They were fired. They were removed. I like that when, what's his name, Donald Trump, when it says, you're fired. You could serve God, and you could even have the opportunity to even do better and better. I remember when I was saved. I love to be in church. I love to be in the Word of God. I don't remember that I missed church that many times. And I was 21 years old. I don't remember that I formed a custom just to miss church just like that. To me, it was something that it was part of my life. Being there with the family of God. But, you know, sometimes there's going to be obstacles in your life. It's easy to say, I'm not going to church today. It's easy to say, I'm not going to the Bible study today. It is very easy because it's comfortable for your flesh. But you have to think spiritually. Didn't the Lord say that the spirit is willing, but the body is weak? Sometimes your body doesn't want to go and do the will of God. And it's easy to say no. But you have to be motivated. What was the motivation of Paul? It was Christ. It was the fellowship of my Lord Jesus Christ. So, time organizing your time and talents. Paul recognizes new life and organizes new life, and he removed the things that would keep him from serving God. And also, if I could get this working, he made room in his heart for someone special. Who was that person that was very special to the Apostle Paul? And to you, who is the person that is very special to you? I know husband is going to say your wives. Amen? Oh, man. But I'm talking about besides your wives, God. Amen? Well, what is one thing you would like to change in your life to serve Christ? Or you want to change anything in your life to serve Christ? And what would motivate someone to make those changes? You know that Paul, when he was serving our Lord, it says in verse 9, and he found him, verse 10, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sharing and his suffering, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead. I want to know Christ. I want to know Christ that I give everything to know Christ. And he did. And to me, he was the greatest of the apostles. He did a lot of work. But my question to you is, who is Christ to you? How much do you love Christ? Or are we only interested in the gift of salvation and not serving Christ? Aren't you glad that we serve a God who is love and merciful, and he has abundant grace for us? Because sometimes we don't correspond his love. His love for us is great. But what about our love for him? And it shows for what you do, how much you love him. It shows in your faithfulness. But you know, Christ should be the motivation to change and to organize your life and remove those things from your life that are an obstacle to serve God. That's why I ask, who's the most special person in your life? Because for Paul was our Lord Jesus. You know, there was a lady, she was 35 years old, young lady, and she fell in love with a 37-year-old young man, and they were ready to marry, but there was something he did not like. I'm not going to tell you what it is, because then I might step on some toes. Oh, sorry if I mispronounce a word, but I hope you get the point. But he didn't want to marry her. There was something in her that she needed to change. And did you know what? She changed. And her friends goes, you've been doing this for a long time. How did you change? Because I love him so much. I want to marry him. I'll do anything for him. And she did. It took a person that she loved so much in order for her to change. Now I'm asking you, is there something that you need to change, but you have not done it? And also there's the opposite. I don't know why this happened. It's been a couple of times, one I heard and one I saw. There was a young girl who wanted to marry him. She was single, never found a husband. And when she found a husband, she was willing to sacrifice anything to marry him. And she left the church. Was that a good, wise decision? That is not a wise choice. You know, I don't see myself. I hope you don't see yourselves one day apart from Christ, not serving God. I don't see myself. I need my Lord in my life. But there's things that you, it is your choice in serving God. So that's why I put as an example those men that are here from 40 to 90. on the choices that they made, because they are an example to you, young men, young ladies. And so I know serving Christ is a choice. I know serving Christ, it takes discipline and commitment, and it takes time, and it takes work. But I'm inviting you to try to do things for the Lord, because when you do things for the Lord, you are not doing it in vain. God is going to reward you, and he's going to bless your life. So let us do something for the Lord. Amen? Amen. Well, at least I got a few amens. I mean, but you know, just like that sign right there, why is from the church putting this sign to do something? Because you have time and you have abilities that God has given you, that God could use them to glorify his name and to be a blessing to others. You know, when my Lord Jesus says how difficult it is for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God, it's because he doesn't include God, he doesn't include others, and he's forgetting about mortality. And it could happen to you and I. If you forget about God, and if you forget about others when you could be a blessing to us, and if you're forgetting that you're going to die one day and be in eternity, you are deceiving yourself. But if you think and you prepare to meet the Lord, like it says in the Bible, prepare to meet the Lord, then you are being wise. You know, do something. There are three kinds of people: those who watch things what happen, those who make things happen, and those who have no idea what happened. A ship in harbor is safe, but that is not what ships are for. We are manufactured in a way, making good, making trouble, or making excuses. But remember, excuses in heaven, see, you will never deceive God. He knows even the secrets of your heart. There might be some people around here that do not know your secrets. Not even the person next to you. And I'm talking, sometimes it could be the wife or the husband or the brother or sister, but God knows your secrets. So let us be wise, and I'm just following in the word of God that our Lord God commands us or invites us to be wise in choosing how we live our lives. You know, you could do something for the Lord. It's just you need to organize your life and make sure there's some things that are not helping you, and be effective and being faithful and being close to God and being in the Word of God and being with the brethren and being in prayer. Somebody asked Michelangelo, how can you take a shapeless block of stone and sculpt from it something as beautiful as this lovely statue of David? He said, it's easy. Just chisel away what is not needed. That's it. Well, of course, he had a talent. But then again, you have a talent in serving God. Now, don't misunderstand me. Talent in the eyes of the world is like if I was to sing like Andrea Bocelli. That's the first name that came out to my mind. Andrea Bocelli. You probably don't even know what it is, but anyway, that's the first name that came. I might not sing like him. I mean, that's a talent for in the world. There's the way that the talent in the world sees it is different that we see it here in the spiritual life. Like, for example, what skills do I need to work for the Lakers? If I was to ask you, what do I need? Do I have a chance? Thank you for the compliments, giving me confidence. You know, sometimes I set myself, but then they go far on that. But anyway, the skills for me in playing basketball, playing baseball, singing like a professional, it's out. But that's the way the world views talent and abilities. You know, when you see in the Bible that the gift of, or the talent of teaching the word of God or preaching or serving in the church to the world, is that a talent or ability? No, but for God it is. The talent of serving, the talent of giving, the talent of mercy, and the talent of encouragement, those are gifts that God gives in the church, and they are here among you. But we don't focus on that, because in the eyes of the world, maybe then, well, you know, that's not a gift or a talent. Someone that is to have a talent to give, that doesn't take a rocket science. How do you say it? Rocket science? It's just if God blesses you, you give back to God. Just don't give bounce checks. God will charge you extra. No, I'm just kidding. Late charges, no, not extra, late charges. But anyway, you know, if you look in the world, the talent in the world, who has the talent of speaking in public? Politicians. But if we invite a politician or a governor to speak here, you know, it is not something that will glorify God. It reminds me of what Paul says. I have become noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. That's what it is. In the eyes of God, a politician may persuade you to do things or to vote for him. It's not going to get nowhere in the eyes of God. I might not have the talent to, you know, speak very well or eloquent, but I just try to do my best of the ability that God gave me. And you could do the same. Isn't it? Do you notice that God uses those who love him and love his word, and love people or the church, and love to be in prayer, and have the desire to serve him? Because you have to have the heart first. God doesn't depend on abilities, but when you are available, then God uses you. The gift of serving. Didn't we just brought a series of sermons? Do you remember from which book is this verse of scripture? Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Which book? Hey, some of you have good memory. But that is the example of our Lord. And the gift of giving, and the gift of mercy, and the gift of encouragement. We need people who can encourage other people. Are you a good encourager? Are you able to encourage your wife, you know, and your brother in the Lord? Yesterday, I had the opportunity to go visit in the hospital. And this young lady, 21 years old, had surgery, colon cancer, or polyps. They removed that. But anyway, I had a double opportunity, one to encourage her and the other one to counsel with one of her sisters. Sometimes it's hard. It's not easy to do those things, to encourage someone who is in the hospital and to encourage other one going through problems. But listen, if you are available, God is going to equip you. God is going to give you the words. Somehow, if you have the heart, just to be there when someone is in the hospital is more than enough. Don't worry about the words. Sometimes they don't hear what you're saying most of the time. I hope they did. I hope they do. But at least they see you there. And that is a blessing to them. You could be an instrument in the arm and in the hands of God. But it is your choice. It is your choice. So let me close with this. Oh, let me see. I have something here. I think it's the next slide. I'm going to put a slide on the screen, and I want you to express the first things that comes to your mind. You don't have to tell me, just speak to yourself right there in your mind. I hope it's the next one. Oh, no, it's not the next. Okay. What is the first things that comes to your mind? I know, siesta, or a nap. But Listen, God is going to give you opportunities. I put this slide just to give you one point that I'm trying to make. When the window of opportunity appears, don't pull down the shades. Why? Because God is going to give you opportunities for you to serve Him in one moment. But say, that is not for me. Yeah, you might be an instrument to bring someone to Christ. You might be someone to bring someone to the church. But you have to be available for God. The Bible says, make the most of your time. Because there's going to be a time there you're not going to be able to serve or to work for the Lord. Your time ran out. You know, I always say there's going to be many Christians in heaven going to say, why I did not spend more time serving God? Why didn't He listen? But it's going to be too late. You know that the Bible says that the more deceiving thing is our heart? And we don't want to admit it because it's talking about each one of us. But the most deceiving thing is our heart. And who likes to be deceived? If you give me a $100 bill and I give you in exchange $80, will you be happy with that? No, you don't like to be deceived. But then we deceive ourselves at times. So making the most of your time. Well, I guess my time is up. Let me close with this. There's four reasons why we organize our time and abilities. One, it glorifies God. Second, you will be a blessing to others. God made you to be a blessing to others. And third, it will benefit you. God is going to reward you. You know, for me to die is Christ, and wow, I forgot the scripture already. And to die is gain. Gain is receiving something. I know sometimes we just are content with the gift of salvation, but you could do more than that. Now, there's an illustration that came to my mind, so I'm going to take another 15 minutes. No, I'm just kidding. You know, there was a doctor and a gardener. They were both Christians. The doctor had a lot of money. They both died. They went to heaven. And the angel was showing their homes to each one of them. And the rich man and the gardener were in front of this beautiful home, two stories, nice windows, a beautiful garden, a fountain. So the doctor asked, whose home is this? It's your gardener's. Wow. If that's my gardener's house, I could imagine mine's going to be a lot better. Says, no, your home is on another section. And this house was not a two-story. It was a single story. It had no gardener, grass. The doors were, masonite. And the windows, for those who know construction, there are only two windows. He says, why is it that my gardener gets a two-story, a beautiful home, and I only get this single house and no grass? Goes, oh, it's because we build the homes here with the material that people send from down there to build their homes. And you didn't send anything. Barely just enough to put it together. Wow. Can you imagine that that is true? How is your house up there? I know this is not a true story, so I don't want to scare you. We have a mansion up there, but I just thought I'd make you think that if our homes up there would depend on what you do, man, we will some be in trouble. So remember, Paul removed the things that would keep him from serving God. We should do the same. He made room in his heart for a very special person, and that was Christ. How about you? And Paul changed the purpose of living in this life. Heaven was in his heart. Look in verse 20 and 21. But our citizen is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. One day, the Lord is going to come, and we're going to be at home. So spend your time and abilities in a way that it blesses others, and it blesses you, and it glorifies God. Amen? Let's stand. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you have given us a new life in Christ. You have made things all new. Help us always to keep in mind that we are serving you, that you have given us time and talents to serve you. Help us not to waste our time. Just like Paul, may every day a day and to use it for your glory, to serve you and to serve the churches and to serve those who are around him. Help us to feel the joy and the passion for you, just like the Apostle Paul. And forgive us if there are obstacles or hindrances in our lives. Help us remove it, Lord. Help us to see that we are not being wise and not spending time with you in prayer and in the Word and in our church. Help us to be wise in your eyes. And help us to choose to be set aside for you, to serve you and to glorify, to do the things that are pleasing to you. Help us to do the things that count in heaven, the things that count for you and in your eyes, and forgive us where we fail you. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know what is your decision today, but if you want to just pray to the Lord and to help you to be more closer to him, you come and pray. If you want to make a decision for Christ, just like Paul, he was a new creature. How can I become a new creature, a new life? You have to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. Come and I'll pray for you, or Brother Eric will be there and pray for you too. Or if you want to obey the Lord in baptism, you can start a new day today. Now, today I'm going to be more faithful to God. Whatever is the decision, it's your choice. Make good choices for God.